Canto 11. Our Father, sang the shades in unison, who are in heaven, where you reign unbound, except by the great love you place upon your first works, the high circle spread around your throne like ripples. Hallowed be your name and power by every creature, as is fit, that they give thanks for what remains the same forever, your sweet love, the warmth of it. Your kingdom, may its peace reach down to us. If it does not, we may not, left alone, reach it, no matter how industrious we are. And as your angels all disown their will and sing hosannas, so let men yield their will too. Give us that daily bread today, without which he goes back again through bitter desert, who most looked ahead and labored for release and to advance. As we forgive all those who do us wrong, forgive us by your heart, without a glance towards our just deserts. And now our song is not for us, but don't put to the proof men's doubtful strength against the enemy of old. Teach them instead to stand aloof from him who stirs its evil wrath. Though we no longer need this, Lord, we ask it for those who remain behind us. So we sing our Paternoster for ourselves and more. And thus beseeching fair wind and strong wing, not just on their behalf but ours, they went. Beneath their burden, as we sometimes dream when we sleep badly, each a testament to different weight of grief. Done with their theme, their weary way around the terrace, all their effort dedicated to the purge of the world's fog. We'd do well to recall their soft words meant to help us that emerge always for love, and ask what should be done and said by us for them, granted our will is good. Thus we might profit many a one, washing the stains away they carry still, so they may go, at last made pure and light, to see the starry wheels. Then Virgil, pray, in order that you soon attain the height by spread wings lifting you, when you will weigh no more than your desire, which way to take is best for a short route to find the stair. And if there's more than one stair, for his sake who has come with me, and has clothes to wear of flesh like Adam, so one goes to sleep watching him climb, although it's only fair to say he tries hard, which is the least steep? It wasn't clear who spoke up in reply to what my guide said, but this was the speech. Come with us to the right, where he can try a passage where a living man may reach the next stage up. Were I not hindered by this stone, which keeps my neck bowed and ashamed, and makes me hold my face down, I would look at him who still lives yet has not been named, to see if I know him, and if he took pity on me for this, my load of pride, to thank him. I was born in Italy, a Tuscan. Family on my father's side, Aldobrandesco. I should say that he was actually Guglielmo. I don't know if his name might have been once known to you. My forebears' blood and great deeds made me so superb that I forgot how all men grew to the common taste of milk. As you might know, I scorned them all, and took my arrogance so far I died from it. The Sienese will tell you how. They came to watch me dance at home in Campagnatico. But fleas need time to kill a dog. And in the square I rode and slew them by the bunch until one of them got behind me. That day there, my castle's children all remember still. I am Umberto. Pride, ah, would it were on me alone that it had wrought its ill. Gladly I would have been sole sufferer. But all my kinsmen it has raveled in the same calamity. I bear the load. You saw humility. Here see the sin of lacking it. And so I walk this road till God is satisfied. I never did any of this among the living. Now I do it with the dead. I heard and hid my face, and one of them, I don't know how, he had not spoken, twisted underneath his weight, saw me, and watched me all the while he labored, and he called through gritted teeth as I went with them, bending in their style, which strains the spine in every little part. Aren't you, I said, the pride of Gubbio, that Oderisi lauded for the art that Paris calls illumination? So, he said, they call me brother. But the palm goes to Bologna, where young Franco's brush embellishes the pages with a calm intensity of form that makes me blush. To him the honor, of which part is mine, but no more. While I lived, though, I might well have taken on this point a different line, unbalanced by my impulse to excel. But here, for pride like that, we pay the price. And I would not be here yet had I failed, with power to sin, my boastful vice to quell. I turn to God. Ah, how we are assailed by empty glory in our skill! How brief the green life of the leaves, unless an age of dead wood comes to put it in relief. But after Cimabue was the rage, make way for Giotto, hard upon his heels, to dim his fame. And so it is with verse. One Guido stands up as the other kneels. It doesn't mean that Guinizelli's worse. It only means that Cavalcanti's new, and takes the title, Glory of Our Tongue. And chances are the poet who will do the same to him's already born, and young, and strong, and fit to chase him from the nest, and once again sing what was never sung before, with turning head and puffed up chest. The world's noise is the breath of a light breeze, which goes this way and that, and changes name only because it changes quarter. Please, convince me how you might have the more fame if you die old than if you died before you gave up talking baby talk. And when 1,000 years have passed, which is no more than one blink to the universe, what then? The slowest wheeling stars move 1 degree from west to east in every 100 years, the merest moment of eternity. And fame we measure by our falling tears that flow for just a while and then run dry. Of him ahead of me who struggles on, all Tuscany resounded, and now try to hear a whisper of him. His fame's gone. Yes, even in Siena, where he reigned when Florence's high riders were destroyed, so full of pride they were, and it was drained, and now they're like cheap whores to avoid. Your fame, it is the color of the grass which comes and goes, because what withers it is what induces its green tips to pass up through the earth. And I must admit, your speech makes my heart tremble and abates my own swelled head. But who is he of whom you spoke just now? One of the one-time greats, it's Provenzan Salvani, he said. Room has here been found for him, because he thought in his presumption to have in his hands all of Siena. So in pride he fought, and not against pride, until all those lands were his, and he has gone thus without rest since he met death. Such is the coin he pays in quittance, who back there would be the best. And I'm told the spirit that delays too long in life before repenting must remain outside that door, and not ascend thus far, unless good prayers are paid in trust, for long enough to match from end to end his lifetime. So how comes it he is here? When he was in his prime, the answer came. He chose, and his own shame he did not fear, Siena's marketplace to be the frame in which he stood, a living portrait of humility, as ransom for a friend rotting in Charles's jail. This act of love was visible as suffering, to rend the heart. His every vein and sinew shook. I say no more, and know that what I say is dark, but soon your townsman, who once took your part, will send you on a lonely way. It was his self-abasement brought you through. The bitter begging bowl awaits you too.